Hey everyone, Matthew Cook, founder and CEO of GTC Golf Academy and host of the Lower Golf Scores podcast. I am a PGA teaching professional, I'm a published author and speaker, and I'm also a member of the Professional Golfers Association of Great Britain. This podcast has one very clear and simple goal, and that is to help you lower your golf scores. Let's get into it. Hey everybody, Matthew Cook here, founder and CEO of GTC Golf Academy and host of the Lower Golf Scores podcast. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about putting. I've been getting quite a few requests for putting sessions and assessments these days, so I want to share some light on my philosophy and my ideas around putting. This is a long topic, a big subject, so I'm probably not going to get it all in one podcast, but I can certainly share with you how I feel about certain things with putting and where I would start. So first of all, I want to give a shout out to Captor Golf, the putting system that is probably now the best putting system in the world when it comes to putting, from an assessment perspective to putter fittings, getting the correct putter fitted for you, to putting. You know what, literally everything putting, the Captor putting system is the world's number one. It is now the best in the world for putting from an assessment perspective and every other perspective you could look at with putting. So I use the device called Captor in my putting sessions when I'm working with golfers in a bit more of a long-term putting program. We use Captor quite a lot. So putting, let's start. Basically, I believe you got to get two things right and you got to be good at a third thing, because that third thing will help the first two things I just mentioned. And you know, I from complete beginner golfers, junior golfers, all the way to elite golfers looking to putt better, I start with the same thing. Now obviously how much in depth I go is different depending on the person. You know, like working with a six-year-old, I probably won't tell them so much about the science because they don't really care. But a more of an elite player, some of them might want to know a bit more. And an expert, someone that's looking to be an expert, should know more about their area of expertise, which is golf, than anybody else. So I think in most cases, most, not all, but most, it's a good thing to know more information. So I start with two things. Those first two things are you got to get the right direction and you got to get the right distance. If you get those two things, you give yourself the best opportunity, the best, highest probability of getting that golf ball in the hole. That's it. It's really simple. Hit the ball the right way and hit it the right speed, and you've given yourself the best chance. Now, that's what all the great players in the world have always done. They hold the club differently, stand differently. They do a lot differently. And so I don't believe that anyone can stand there and say, this is how you have to hold it. This is how you have to stand. I believe you can have ideas and strong ideas in how to do that stuff. But ultimately, you look through the best players in history and none of them, or at least one or two of them, probably more, but, you know, just to save my butt here, I'm going to say one or two. You'll see one or two haven't done what you think you should do. That's just the way it is. Look at the great Jack Nicklaus. Look how he used to stand putting. Look at Arnold Palmer, how he used to stand when he was putting. Those guys didn't stand how the traditional modern method of standing up to a putt, or the traditional modern method of holding the putter, they didn't stand like that or hold the club like that. No way. So why on earth should we be saying that this is a fundamental, you know, the age-old grip stance postures, the fundamentals, which I think is garbage anyway. But how can we say we got to stand like this when those guys didn't? So, what they did do, though, however, is they hit the ball the right direction and they hit it the right distance. That's what they did. So let's move on to the third thing, which helps those first two, and then I'm going to go into each one of them just a little bit deeper. So the third thing is reading the green, which is a skill. It's a very difficult skill to get good at as well. And a lot of it comes from experience of just being on the green and subconsciously over time feeling and seeing what the golf ball does on the green that you're on after you've hit the putt. I tell my students all the time, whether young or old, pay attention to what the ball does. Watch the ball roll. Even if you know it's not going to go in, just still watch it. See how it breaks. See how it rolls down this hill and that hill. Because that is information that's going into your brain that's going to help in future putts without you even knowing about it. It just happens. So, reading a green is super important. And there's all sorts of things you've got to consider. And there's two different camps for this, you know, regarding this, what I'm about to say with the growth of the grass, the direction the grass is growing. So the, the word just left my mind. What's it called? The grain. My God, that just left my mind. So the grain, which way's the grain going? There's two different camps. There's those people that are in one camp saying grain has no impact at all. And there's another camp saying grain has every impact. I'm right in the middle. I've got splinters in my book because I'm sat on the fence. I think that doesn't really have as big of an impact as some think it does. So I'm right in the middle. So that's part, you know, that's one thing to consider with reading a green. The slopes, the severity of the slopes. What time of day it is very important. If it's in the morning, typically the greens have been cut, so they're much quicker. Is there some dew on the ground? Is there some sand? Because that is going to make the ball have less friction. It's going to roll faster. If there's water, it's going to slow down, potentially. So what time of day is it? What is the weather like at the time? There's all these things to consider when reading a green. And then from that point on, you've got to make a decision. And then you've got to hit the ball the right direction and the right distance. So when it comes to distance, I find the biggest issue golfers have with distance and controlling the distance is where they have the ball position. I see golfers that struggle with this have the ball position too far back in the stance. And so when they hit the putt, they're hitting the ball with the putter, attacking the ball at a negative angle of attack. And because there's still loft on a putter, not much, but 1, 2, or 3 degrees of loft. Some cases there's more, but typically around 2 or 3 degrees of loft, the ball tends to skid because of how you hit it. You hit down on it with a putter with loft, and the ball bounces and skids too much before it actually starts to roll. And that's why people struggle with controlling distance. So I prefer to see my clients have the ball position slightly forward, and how much depends on each player and how much they hit down or up at the ball, and their physique. It's different for everybody, and the putter that they have. So I just work with them on where it should be. But ball position further forward, typically. And then that will allow the club to hit the ball slightly on the way up. And this is what some people don't realize, and it makes sense when I say it. The ball, when it's just sat there on a putting green, because it's grass, the ball sits in its own depression. So you want the putter to be swinging, hitting the ball on the way up slightly, so you can lift the ball out of that depression and get it rolling quicker. So that's a little bit of distance control. There's other factors as well, but I'm just going to leave it there for now, because we're already almost at 10 minutes and I like to keep these short for you. So direction, having the putter face point the right way is key. It's key for everything, whether it's wedges or irons or driver. The club face has the biggest impact on the direction the ball goes. So wherever that club face is pointing, that's where the ball's going. So we focus in my lessons on controlling the club face. Some golfers have a slight arc as a putting stroke, a medium one and a quite a big one. It's up to me to help my students find which one they have and then work with them with that stroke, helping them develop the skill to controlling the club face. And controlling, I probably shouldn't even say controlling, I should say influencing, because you can't control it, but you can heavily influence it. And then once you can influence, just because you've got great awareness of the club face, then you're more likely to hit the ball on the line that you intend. It might not be the right one if you don't read the green correctly, but at least you're starting it on the line you want to start it on. So there, that's my little intro to putting, really. There's a lot more to it, but I don't want to keep you guys and girls too long on this podcast. I don't like to take too much of your time. I will be back in another episode talking about putting, going a little bit deeper, taking a deeper dive into those three areas. And I'll even share some more stuff about cap toe, because it's fascinating and it really is, like I said, the number one putting system in the world right now. That's all from me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with another episode. I'll see you then.